Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Inner Voice Intuitive Hour with your host, Jenny Seek.
Hi, folks. This is Jenny Seek, and this is your weekly forum for connecting with your intuitive process, all things metaphysical, and honoring and recognizing your soul self. Thanks for tuning in, and enjoy the ride.
Hi there, everybody. Thanks so much for listening to Inner Voice Intuitive Hour. Glad you're spending your Tuesday evening with us. If you'd like to check out the archives, you can do that on With Insights Radio. There are a lot of other great shows as well. The Entrepreneurial Hour, Entrepreneurial Excellence Hour, I believe that's what it's called, Mud Toes, Sasquatch, and Midnight, and With Insights with Rosa and Iggy Garcia, Rosa Bell and Iggy Garcia. So check out the programming that With Insights offers, and do also follow the show. There's a little thing that you can click on the left-hand side, so that on the left-hand side of the page when you pull up With Insights, so that you can share your pretty face and let us know that you're there and get updates for upcoming shows. I'm going to bring the guest on, and then I'm going to introduce what's coming on up in the near future on Inner Voice. Hang on here. Hi, Heather. Are you there? Hello?
Yes, I am, Ben. How are you?
Good. How are you?
I'm great. I just drove from Columbus to Charleston, South Carolina.
Awesome.
I am
very
excited
cool.
to be on your show.
Very cool. Well, just hang on for a quick minute. I'm just going to introduce what's coming up, and then we'll have the rest of the hour to chat.
Perfect.
About all the work that you're doing. Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. So for folks who have never listened to Inner Voice, and for folks who are old hats at it, this is a dialogue and a forum for folks who are interested in the intersection between depth psychology, which has to do with archetypes, the stories we tell in our lives, and how we inspire those stories into being, and how much energy we have around those stories that we tell, and the intersection where that meets with following our own intuition, our own inner voice, and understanding better what's guiding us in the world, and kind of letting go of our ego self, moving into that place in our self that we call the authentic self, where our life kind of is guided by divine forces, or what Jung called synchronicities, energetic matching that happens in the world. So if those topics are of interest to you, you're in the right place. I want to let you know what's coming up in the near future on Inner Voice. On October 2nd, Melissa LaFlame will be on. I've had Melissa on before. She's a Jungian depth psychotherapist and a mentor of mine. And she and me are going to talk about eco-psychology, which is all about working with the four sacred elements and the power that nature has to shape the way we see ourselves and our healing capacities and our inner knowing. So that should be a really rich hour, and I encourage you to check that out. Then on October 9th, Pamela Steele will be on. Pamela Steele created a wonderful tarot deck called the Steele Wizards Tarot Deck, and she's doing webinars now with another friend, Roxy Ball, Roxy Sim, who does a lot of different kinds of artwork that have to do with soul connections, and also is creating a tarot deck now. So I encourage you to check out their webinars and their Facebook pages. And then, let's see here, moving forward, November 13th, Ellen Siegel will be on. Ellen Siegel is a psychotherapist in the Columbus area, and her practice is known as Heart and Soul Counseling. She just wrote a book on understanding happiness and how to have unconditional sense of happiness in our lives. So I'm really excited to have her share the hour with Inner Voice. With no further ado, I want to introduce our guest tonight, Heather L. Tapia. Heather L. Tapia is a prosperity advisor, and she's going to tell us all about what that is exactly for folks who aren't quite sure. Hey, Heather, are you there? I know already you are.
Yes, I am, Jen. Thank you again for having me on your awesome show.
Absolutely. So the first question that I ask everybody who's on Inner Voice is, you know, this is kind of out of the box. It's not a typical course for our life to take sometimes to do something like call yourself a prosperity advisor. Would you say that this path found you, or did you find it?
I would say I was absolutely guided along this mm-hmm. path, and I believe, you know, that's the benefit as you start to, as I call it, raise your vibration and become more aware of that intuitive inner voice that you talk about. When you choose to listen, things just start to open up, and I've been gifted in that most of the time I don't know why I'm doing something, but I listen to that voice, and then it reveals itself either months and months later, years later, or in a few hours or weeks, and that's what's got me to this path of prosperity advisors, really just taking my own journey, my own life lessons, and then applying them to the clients that I consult with to empower them to their own intuition and listening to that path and monetizing their passion. So that's a great question.
Very cool. And what is a prosperity advisor for people who aren't familiar with that idea?
It is, for me, as it was about me rebranding myself. I had been coaching businesses in the alternative and holistic realm, other coaches and intuitives and massage therapists. And I came up with the principle of energetic business consulting, and it was originally to look at the energy behind your business success, or the limiting beliefs someone has, clearing that stuck energy, creating a plan of action, and creating the flow of currency. So I call that my business model is energy business. And what I found is those in our circle who are healers and intuitives and working in the mind-body-spirit realm understood when I said energy. But when I started to transition more and work with what I call mainstream business owners, they didn't know what that meant. And so it was jargon, a term that they didn't get or understand. And so I needed to rebrand myself. And I kept hearing this mantra, share, abundance, and prosper. And started working with the vibration of abundance and prosperity. And was talking with a wonderful leader, he's a Catholic priest, actually, Josh Wagner, and he and I were talking about what should I call myself now so that people will understand it. And he said, I said, it needs to be prosperity something, abundance something. And he said, what about advisor? So, as a prosperity advisor, I do the same thing. I just now have a more workable terminology and help any business owner that's ready for their success achieve their abundance and receive their excellence. And so it's allowing that attention, and setting that intention that's allowed me to help those that are ready. And that's what a prosperity advisor does, help you with your life path direction, clarity, and most of the time guide you to monetizing that passion and then setting a good, clear, web video marketing plan.
Very cool. So it sounds like it is a multifaceted process to work with you.
It absolutely is, because I definitely use a holistic approach. I might not call it mind, body, and spirit anymore, just to be sensitive to other people's beliefs and religion. And I hold the integrity of my own personal beliefs, but I don't necessarily impart them on somebody who, say, is Christian or Catholic. And I try to remove their limiting perception that religion has a place in business. Faith and belief have a place in business. I just don't want somebody to not go where they need to go because they feel like it's not part of their religious system. So if we can get past all that, and that's who I attract anyway, then we can do some really good work and just set them up for success. So the fun thing is I've noticed, and I tell people, look, when you work with me, the side effect is you're going to get more work. So if we set this intention and we clear the stuck belief system and energy and we work the plan of action and we start putting you out there, don't be upset when you're too busy because that's what's going to happen. So, basically hold on and enjoy the ride, just like you said. So it's awesome.
And when you talk about energetic blocks that people have to their own success, can you talk a little bit more about what that might look like or feel like so that a client can identify that for themselves? I think sometimes people come in and they're so overwhelmed by their own stuff that it's hard for them to see, to make it clear and say, well, this is really what's going on for you, and breaking it down. So how is it you do that, Heather?
Well, everybody obviously has a different issue. We're all similar. We're all the same. We might present our issues at a different time than someone around us. And so, you know, one way that I've helped kind of, I guess, make it easier for somebody to identify what's going on behind the scenes internally within their emotional body and system, in their physical body and system, in their mental and their spiritual, is to help them practice on how to tap in. And so I wrote a book called The 5 Steps to Abundance, which kind of walks them through, regardless of where somebody is and where they believe, in simplicity. The steps are simplistic, but the work behind each step is as complex as the individual themselves.
Mm-hmm.
And so the first step, oh, go ahead, sorry. And so the first step is gratitude. And that can mean a lot of different things to people. But when I found if somebody is frustrated with what's going on in their business world, or they're fearful to start a business, and they don't, and they aren't able to necessarily step to the side and have that third party viewpoint on what's going on, if I ask them to focus on what they're grateful for and what is working in their life, and have them make an action step, which is a simple list, then they can start to tap into that abundance and prosperity principles. And then the universe, one of the things I say in my book is I call it the universe. That's how I term it. People might call it God, spirit, creator, goddess. It's once you start saying yes to that energy and showing gratitude for where you are, then it's a lot easier to move from that and attract more of what you do want and what you choose to have happen. So gratitude becomes the first step. And so that's another way to kind of tap into what might be blocking you is go to the reverse of it. You know, do the reverse psychology of it if you're not sure. You know, hold space with what's working, and then you start to see how much really is working, and therefore you're not putting attention on the negative or the block, and then you get more of the positive. That's one simple strategy that I would teach.
I think that's wonderful. I think there are so many, tendencies in our culture sometimes to focus on the negative, you know, in the news. And then, you know, as we age, sometimes you hear this kind of water cooler conversation about it's all downhill from here and this sort of thing. And it can have such a powerful impact on people who aren't real clear about what their calling is or understanding that base of gratitude. And I think that's just so wonderful that you're focusing on the positive no matter what it is. And that helps people to realign and hold the energy differently, like you're saying, for sure.
Absolutely. And, you know, that's one of the reasons that I started Entrepreneurial Excellence Radio Show is I'm committed to helping individuals monetize their passion, whatever that might be, and help them see through my eyes how simple achieving their goals are. Not that they can't, that they are right now in the present tense. And I've been doing the self-discovery work since 98, so I've gone through everything they could possibly think that they're going to go through, and hopefully I've got much, much more to go through, obviously, on my path. But what I've done and what I choose to do is put my experiences out there so I can show them the simplicity of the journey. And with time being accelerated, and I know this is probably part of your experience, for me it's so much easier to get them where they need to have that awareness, that light bulb, than ever, ever before.
Mm-hmm.
And that's exciting for me.
Yeah, it feels like there's something happening in the culture now, and we know, like with the Mayan prophecies about the energy shifting to one of global consciousness and this sort of kind of thing, that it seems like people are really, really ready right now to hear this message. You know, they know that things in the past haven't worked, but I think that you're right. It seems like people are really ready, and maybe they're not even really sure what they're ready for, but they just know that they're ready for something new and different and more alive in their life. And I'm hearing that from clients as well, like now's the time, you know. So
exactly, and that's exciting. I used to from my holistic coaching training and my background in, you know, an undergrad psych, it was like you had to drag, I call it, somebody through the mud until they broke down and they cried, and then they relived that painful experience or memory so they could bring it to the surface. So then you could say, okay, now you're feeling it. Now let's heal it. You got to feel it to heal it. And I do that in sound healing. But what I've learned with this acceleration and the beautiful alignments that are possible is if they just simply hold space with that energy, they can choose to release it, and we set the intention, let's let it go forever. You don't have to relive it. Let's love it. Let's honor it. Let's bless it. Let's get rid of it so you can move to the next layer or next level. And that's been really nice. I don't have to make people cry to help them heal anymore.
Yep. I think it's really powerful to help them notice when they're in that wounded place. But I totally agree with you. Even in trauma work recently, there's been an emphasis of empowering the person through the place of the trauma so that they can figure out, even in the situation where they were traumatized, what their strengths were to get through it and not necessarily to tell the whole story, because the whole story can be re-traumatizing. It can keep them in the place of the wound. And it's so much more powerful to notice those things that inspire you and enliven you and move you forward, even as you're dealing with difficult things.
Right, and you know, I was telling somebody earlier, a coach needs a coach, and to stand there and be present for each other and remind others not to isolate and allow that limited belief to fester or have fear, or nothing is a failure if you're learning and you're moving forward. And you might do it again several times, whatever that perceived mistake is, and then you just have that aha and that click. And that's part of the process and the journey and fine-tuning that you can create your reality, and we co-create it together for positive thought. That's the people I choose to hang out with.
Yeah, I agree. I think that's wonderful, too, because there's this tendency sometimes to think that you have to do everything on your own, and sometimes when we find this path, it's because we did have to do everything on our own. So we identify with this kind of survivor archetype and have a tendency unconsciously to push support away or think we can do it all ourselves. But we really do need each other. We need each other to mirror those places that we're not or those places that we're moving into. And we need each other to co-create as well.
Yes, absolutely. And I love what you're doing with bringing people back to these archetypes or personas, so you can learn the definition. At least for me, I can be reminded or learn the definition and then address my response or reaction to a specific situation and utilize it as an opportunity to be aware of a prevalent present issue that pops up and then deal with it. I had that experience with a friend of mine the other day that it really blew me away that I had evolved to the place where we were sitting at a campfire, and I have a drum, and I was with two other friends, and her boyfriend was playing my drum and then fanning the fire with it and accidentally hit it on a rock. Mm-hmm. And instantly, it triggered a trauma moment for me as a little kid where somebody was, like, breaking or hurting my toy that was part of my identity, because the drum is my medicine. Right, it's a healing drum, and I've already one of them already broke, so I was just reliving the trauma of losing that first drum, you know, and it just represented a lot of different layers that I have been holding on to, and at the same token, I was able to see myself responding to him, acknowledge that it was the little kid that was fearful, but at the same time, let the little kid go, can I have it back? Give me the drum, and then play out the drama where he didn't hand it to me right away. And I'm like, no, really, give me my drum. And he laughed. And I'm like, no, really, I need to hold my drum right now. And to watch myself fill up with the panic and then be able to process that later and say, wow, I still have major, major trust issues in regard to what goes on between me and masculine energy and then me and as a little kid and my family, my mom and my dad. So that's the archetypes, you know, that you're speaking of, and it all happened in like less than a minute. But when you're at the place of that dimensional awareness, I did so much healing in that exact moment, and it's like I still can go there again and keep processing through it, through the layers.
That's
so
wonderful.
That little drama was so powerful, and to have my friend, who's a magical healer, be witness to what was going on and be intuitive enough to know what I was feeling, and then to be able to dialogue with her about it later, and her go, yeah, I saw that. She's like, he's helping me trust. And I said, wow, he's teaching me trust. And it was just, it was incredible, that experience. And I think that's what you can help when you define and you're bringing the awareness of these archetypes. Just all of a sudden, I knew where I was and what I was experiencing without words, so that I could choose to go there in safety.
Absolutely. And I think it also is an indicator of where you're at on your own healing journey, because sometimes our tendency is to go right into the wound and just to become reactive. But the fact that you were able to observe it and, you know, be in that, I think you said multidimensional space, you know, that's so wonderful. It's such a gift to be able to go, ah, here it is. Here's how it feels, and here's what I need. But here's where I'm at as an adult. Here's where I'm at now, you know, and that's just such a one. And it's an amazing shift.
It was crazy cool, because then I gave my child permission to still act out the give me my toy back feeling.
Yeah.
As I was just observing and then trying to offer comfort and go, You're okay, kind of thing. It was cool.
And you have to, because it's so empowering to have someone else witness that child finally getting what they needed, you know. So for the first couple times, it's so empowering to have that, you know, reactive capacity, but still be in that observational place and heal that child and kind of grow her up, you know.
Mm-hmm. So there's more work and healing to do, but it really brought to the surface. I was like, wow, this was an issue I wasn't looking at. I didn't pay attention.
Yeah.
And obviously for my growth, spirit or universe or this other energy being, this other human, was able to bring it up and put it in my face, so I had to look at it in a positive way, not a painful, hurtful way.
Yeah. Very cool stuff. Awesome.
So, helping clients get to that place, by just sharing that experience, hopefully will allow somebody to sit back and start to learn to process their experiences in the exact moment that they're occurring. And that definitely takes practice. Like, this is not something I learned yesterday. I've been working and working and working this. And sometimes I don't work it for years. And then sometimes I get really far advanced into the process in a few short moments, days, or hours. And you know, it's not that it's simple, but I think it's, for me, it's the fun part of being human right now.
Yeah.
That I want to honor and validate. And I want to be here experiencing my emotions, learning to give myself permission to experience emotions, and not on the other side of where a lot of my colleagues are like, I can't wait to go home. I'm like, I'm having fun right now, right here. I have a purpose. And I'm going to keep vibrating and living it and energizing through it. And for me, the reward isn't crossing over to the other side. For me, the reward, as I see it, is the experiencing the real-time journey right now in this present human experience. And I don't know if how many people really do feel like that, but, I mean, that's how I feel, and I'm having a good time with it. And I have great, great people like yourself around me experiencing now as well. So I think it makes the experience and the ride even more fun.
Absolutely. I agree. I also think that, you know, people are in different stages of awareness in different arenas. So I think sometimes, you know, with our kids' stuff or our child stuff, we're in one place. With relationships, like romantic relationship stuff, we're in another place. With, you know, so we don't, like, we're not all just in one place, like, experiencing healing it on that same course across the board of ourselves, but we're in different places around different kinds of issues.
And so I think it's so important to be aware of that and do self-care if we're in a, if we're in a more wounded place in one area than in another place, you know.
Exactly. And I think just to give the audience a visual, because I see information as an intuitive in pictures. And when you were describing that experience, I saw picture a bar graph where you put the numbers in and the statistical data, and then you push the chart button on Excel, and it comes up with this bar graph, and it says, okay, your bar on emotional journey with this issue is at this level, and it's this color. And so I saw, you know, as you're floating and moving through these different experiences and archetypes and situations, so for relationships, I might be at a really small bar, and it could be, say, orange or something, and then my evolution with processing my trust issues might be a little higher.
Mm-hmm.
And so I saw that what you were describing as a bar graph for the audience to kind of wrap around more dimensionally, more concretely, at least. That's what I'm guided to share for that
like
part of it.
Yeah, absolutely. That's awesome. Yeah,
and it's
great.
And it definitely, thank you. And it segues into the rest of the steps, because I downloaded the book, meaning I was given the words, I wrote it in a half hour, I woke up at 6 o'clock in the morning, and I just wrote the book. And
didn't you love that?
Huh?
Don't you love that? That kind of quick
download.
It's amazing.
it's incredible, and I realize I do that with all my books, but now I can push stop and then go back and come back in. But this was just like it's a mini book, and you can get it at the www.theabundancebook.webs, W-E-B as in boy, S.com. And as soon as I slowed down from traveling for these Global Women's Summit events and events, then I'm going to have it formatted for ebook download very, like, hopefully within the next couple of days, because
very
I want to be able to, yeah, I'm excited because I want to get it in the hands of people. And it's really simple but complex. And so just like you're describing, you're at different levels at each of these issues in your life, the five steps is also. You know, you'll start it with that gratitude. You'll wash through them. Even one day, I could see myself going through them and not judging the experience of where you're at is the practice.
Yeah, I think just writing, sometimes the process of writing itself can move you from one place to the next. Such a powerful experience, you know, because once you've articulated the idea, then it, like, it quickens in you somehow. It's powerful stuff. What's the second step, Heather?
The second step is believing you deserve what you're asking for. And so when you finally, you hold space and gratitude and you're grateful for where you are, then you can say, I deserve what I'm asking for. And you let go of those limiting beliefs and self-defeating behavior and low self-esteem, and you can acknowledge that, yeah, it's okay for me to ask for this, whatever that issue or situation or person or whatever it is that you're asking for. And then the third one, and these, again, as I say them, they're simple, but when you start to look at them individually, like, wow, a lot can happen in that step. So a lot can absolutely happen in that step, as well as the third one, which is identify and release your fears. And a lot of times as a business coach, and myself absolutely included in this, fear of success can absolutely freeze me to move forward. And I've learned to acknowledge when I'm freezing myself and force
when
myself.
When I'm frozen, when I'm stopping myself
from moving forward. So,
yeah.
You know, I've learned that if I'm afraid of it, then it's because it's what I'm supposed to be doing.
Mm-hmm.
And I push through that fear. And, you know,
ask
anybody, courage is not the absence of fear, but the existence of fear and moving anyway. Military person. And that is so powerful. And you know, one cool way to, you know, you're saying, how can somebody identify it? Simply just ask yourself, when you're experiencing a reaction, like an emotional or a physical pain in the neck or the head or the back, a lot of that is emotional and it's being expressed physically. I encourage you to just simply say, what am I feeling? What am I afraid of?
Yeah.
What's going on? And then give yourself a moment to allow that answer to come to you. And practice that technique. And eventually you'll be able to diffuse and, again, learn to push through that experience or that fear to the other side. And that's the fun part. We've all done it, and we know that it's where we're supposed to be. It's just allowing ourselves to get there. So those are pretty deep. Go ahead.
I think it's also, reinforcing the experience of getting to the other side. Deepak Chopra talks about this idea that it takes 21 days to break a habit. And I've been working myself with this jar and putting experiences of synchronicities, things that I've manifested in the jar. So then when I have a really bad day, I pull stuff out and look at what I've been able to manifest so I feel like I've moved forward. And I've discovered over 27 days of doing this that something happens inside of you when you start to align with this feeling, this internal feeling of, you know, getting to the other side. And when we've had a traumatic experience, there's something that happens inside of us that's on the other side of that. So I think there's something really empowering about this idea of breaking a habit by actually training yourself to move through that fear and to just, you know, face it head on, in kind of in a safe way, but you know, as you're ready to recognize that place where you're starting to dissociate or starting to freeze or these sorts of defense mechanisms that we have.
Absolutely. I've had the pleasure of meeting and studying with Deepak Chopra twice.
Wow.
And I flew myself out to California to go to the Chopra Center, which is the beautiful La Costa Resort and Spa.
Uh-huh.
And that was when I was quote-unquote, just waking up. Like, we were doing meditations and learning about Ayurvedic medicine and studying the different eating for your dosha, which is your, you know, personality type in Indian Ayurvedic medicine. And it was a great experience. The first time I'd ever eaten vegetarian.
Awesome.
And I was trying to do the Atkins diet and then flew to California, and they were feeding us granola and fruit. And I ate yogurt, and I thought, I'm going to die here because I have no food. It was the funniest awakening experience. It was beautiful because in a couple of days, my body just started thriving, and the consciousness and the connection and so forth. So I encourage all of individuals, if you don't know who Deepak Chopra is, look him up, go to the library, listen to his books on tape, and really absorb the beautiful energy of this man who, you know, has definitely helped shift me from studying him in psychology class to working with him to being able to share his principles of healing and abundance and synchronicity. So that's an excellent, excellent tip for sure. Thank you for sharing that.
Oh, sure. I think, too, on my own journey, Wayne Dyer, for folks who are, like, new to metaphysical stuff, there's something very grounded about him. I believe he's a Virgo, and he just has a way of presenting stuff that isn't so woo-woo in its presentation, and he was kind of my first doorway to, you know, and I would just sit in rapt attention when they would play him on PBS, and I would just watch him for hours, and I could feel the energy in my body shift, and that's how I started to be exposed to some of these new ideas, you know, like you were talking about Deepak Chopra and your experience in the very beginning of your journey. And I just think that both of them are a really great doorway to the metaphysical because, you know, Deepak Chopra deals so much with groundedness and the body, and Wayne Dyer, his friend, he does as well.
Exactly. And the fact, you know, Deepak is a doctor of medicine. So he has the Western teachings, and he's incorporated the Eastern teachings. And then I believe Wayne Dyer could be considered more of like a coach or working with the business side as well as the individual and empowering them to their purpose and their passion and clearing out the gook layer of clutter in the mind and focused attention. And, you know, these are all things that you're sharing, I'm sharing, that we're doing it, at least I'm doing it, so that I can plant the seed, start the ripple, and if it takes somebody another 5 years to get it or they hear it, the right word from somebody else, then I've done my job because that was my purpose in that moment for them. And I love meeting people at, like, when I do speaking or, you know, I go to, we've got the wonderful Universal Light Expo coming up, right, in Columbus, Ohio. And I love running into people that I might only see once a year at that event. And you could probably relate to this as a as an intuitive or a psychic. I've chosen not to hold on to their information because it's not relevant to me. It goes through me. So when they come up and say, you told me this last year, and you were right on, and this is what's been happening, and da-da-da-da, and I'm like, that's awesome. And I'm like, I don't remember it at all, but it planted the seed and started the ripple. So it's pretty exciting, and that's what our teachers are doing for us. They're planting the seed and helping us ripple.
Just a note on the Universal Light Expo. I believe it's the biggest metaphysical not-for-profit expo of its kind in the country. And it really is, for people who can just hop on a plane and come for the weekend, it really is a wonderful chance to go to workshops with all different kinds of metaphysical practitioners, people who practice abundance thinking, people who read faces, people who do tarot cards, but people who have studied these things for a long time. And so you get a really great combination of their own journey and their own personal insights with the wisdom they've gleaned from being on a path and learning from others. And it really is a wonderful, powerful event. So I just kind of
It absolutely is. And it's a great place to launch your career, your intuitive career as well. You know, if you're starting to get your own healing powers or psychic intuitive out there or mind-body-spirit work, and you're afraid to do a show, they are so welcoming. And now it fills up immediately, so you've got to get your booth registered pretty much in October of November for the next year to get a spot. But they love new people. They love new speakers. And I just want to say, you know, Tammy Rager took on organizing it. I don't know when she started, but just to acknowledge, I got the program ahead of time because I have a vendor booth. I'm actually going to be in booth 114. And I was looking at the speakers and the titles this year, and it's been really cool, to me, even newer thought stuff. Like, it's very eclectic, very different than I've observed from previous years. So you can go to universeexpo.com and see the full program and, you know, plan your speaking, the lectures you want to go to in advance. And, you know, then you can kind of plan out your day, but allow spirit to guide you, because you're going to end up where you're supposed to be, whether you think you're supposed to be there or not. And I've experienced that. That's what got me in sound healing, which opened up my intuitiveness, calmed my physical, my mental enough that I could allow these messages and information to actually show up and come in. Before, I had a bunch of static in my head that I couldn't quiet my mind. And thank God for sound healing to put some balance in there so I could learn now.
Yeah, it's amazing. We kind of came full circle, because that's more of what I kind of had wanted to talk about, is that idea of, you know, that you really don't know what it is that's going to do a certain thing to you. We can get too certain or too sure of what our next step on our path looks like. And Jung talks about the idea of the individuation process, which is about this idea that we're the seed, this particular seed when we're born. Actually, this is Hillman talks about, you know, that we're this seed, and we're going to grow into a particular kind of a tree. And it doesn't matter what happens to us, we still have that energy of that seed within us, and we're going to bump into opportunities that allow that seed to sprout and germinate and grow, but that we need to get out of the way of that process, that because we bump up against our culture, and our culture tells us what to do, and if we listen too much and we take too much of that kind of information in, then what happens is we don't allow ourselves to have the journey that we're meant to have, that spirit means for us to have. And so I just love your idea about sound healing and how empowering it was for you and how it settled you in your body and your core, and that you just followed that journey instead of saying, no, 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 I'm this over here and this is what I do. And I think to be able to resist those forces in the culture that tell us, you know, this is what we should do or this is what we should be or what we should say, it's just, this is, we're a model. Practitioners like us and ourselves are a model for that experience for other people who may be in the very beginning of the journey and going, well, do I really trust this or can I really trust my inner voice? Can I really, you know, go here or do I need to do this, you know? And so I just think it's so wonderful that you were so open to that.
Well, and it's funny because it was, everybody kept telling me, you've got to quiet your mind, you've got to quiet your mind. And I studied psychic stuff since I was a little kid. I grew up reading the ghost stories and watching the scary movies and making my mom buy me all the Nancy Drews because there's that element, there might be a ghost in the house that they were researching. Like, I love that. And I studied the science of it. I did an eighth grade science paper on parapsychology and did clinical trials to my entire class, you know, with the five cards, you know, the wavy lines and the triangle and all that
stuff. Yeah, the center cards.
Yeah, and I mean, I was a scientist and I was passionate. And then moving forward, and I kept going, why can't I see? Once I started doing the coaching and there's all these psychics, I'm like, why don't I have it? Why don't I have it? Everybody has it. Why aren't I there? And I asked the psychic and she's like, you have too much static. You need to quiet your mind. And I'm out at Deepak and they're like, sit in meditation. And about 15 minutes go by, and I'm like, I need to move. I'm bouncing around. I'm like, okay, is it time to eat breakfast yet? I got to go. And then when I got listened to my voice that said, you need to go to the sound healing conference, I didn't know what sound healing was. I'd never heard of it. So they showed me what it was, and I got certified in tuning forks, and I went to the conference, and I got lost and ended up in a drum circle, which is where I needed to be. And it was through giving myself permission to make noise that I actually found the quiet spot, because that's what I needed for my journey. I needed permission to be loud, to slow down, to feel it. It was, and I think that's super cool. Like you said, you don't know where. If there was somebody who said, make a lot of noise, you'll get there, I would have been like, okay, that makes sense. I hope people just, you know, let go of what they perceive. I also encourage people, put down the books.
Absolutely.
Put down the books.
I totally agree with you. Yep.
Go do it. I'm glad you, because I think they get bogged down and they're like, oh, you need to read this book and you need to read that book. And I love to read. I read three books at a time, but I read fiction. I don't read the books about what I practice because I tapped in and the information comes to me, and I've learned to trust that.
Yeah.
And when somebody says, oh, read this and read that, I'm like, when's the last time you went to a class? When's the last time you had a conversation or you meditated or you drummed or you danced?
Interesting as confirmation, but I find that books, like especially with my tarot classes and stuff, I say, please, if you're willing to, don't bring a book to class. We're going to actually look at the cards. We're going to look at the images on the cards, see what they evoke in you. And, you know, it is a journey because people want some of the books, and you have to be like, okay, cool, you know, whatever book. But I really encourage people to do meditation, to do, you know, to look at the colors on the cards and to come up with their own intuitive information, because everybody is going to filter it differently and everybody is going to be different in their intuitive impressions. And that's what makes, you know, practitioners who are really grounded in what it is they're doing. If you go to the books too much, you can use them as a crutch and then you're not really sure what you believe when you're done. You know, you're just kind of overwhelmed with information. So I so appreciate your saying that, because I kind of get in trouble. I've spoken at Phoenix, and I actually said,
don't
read books. And then I thought, oh, I shouldn't do that. I'm in a bookstore. And I did it, like, twice. And then my partner was like, Jenny, you might not want to say that. And I was like, oh, okay. So then I temper it. But I really believe that, you know, you really want to go for your own intuitive guidance.
And I agree. I think for me, that's a quality tarot card teacher, because the one that says, look at the symbolism, and then you throw a card on the table, and the whole class says, what do you see? What do you see? What do I see? And I got the benefit of that type of training when I was going down that path and studying the symbolism, and it stuck with me. And then my friend, she's, God bless her, she was like, I booked you as a tarot card reader at my company's Christmas party. I'm like, you did what? Why did you do that? I don't read tarot cards. I mean, I know what they are, but that's not who I didn't identify with that because I was doing sound. I said, I drum.
True.
Can I do a drum circle? She's like, no, you got to do tarot cards. I'm like, I haven't looked at tarot cards in 6 years. Like, how am I going to do this, right? And I said, okay. And I took my deck and started putting cards down, and I just saw the pictures in my head and said, oh, you know, your son, he's really attached to money, isn't he? Because it was a bunch of pentacle cards. She's like, he is. That's all he does is save his money.
Huh?
And I got validated through just interpreting the cards and listening to the message. And it was kind of like 3 years later is when I started channeling in our sweat lodge and realized I was clairaudient and I could see hear. So, but it's been, like you said, I just learned to trust what came out of my mouth and know that what you're saying has a purpose, and then practice believing you're not wrong about it.
Absolutely. Well, that's another example of spirit guiding you. I think it's so easy. Like, you know, I've had recently some medium experiences, and people always think I'm a medium, and they want me to interpret, you know, things for people who have crossed over. And I don't see myself that way. But I've come to the place where I'm like, okay, if someone wants that, I'm going to say with a caveat, this isn't my strength, but I'm happy to do it if spirit guides you in that direction. And gotten a lot of confirmation because people say that I'm accurate. But it's just funny because, you know, here's me. No, 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 that's not what I am. That's not what I do. Like, I'm not a tarot card reader like you're saying. But,
right.
You know, spirit led you there for a particular reason to say, you know, blossom, you know, explore more of your gifts. So I encourage
listeners to do that.
Yeah,
I hadn't even thought of it that perspective. I needed to have that validation of my own inner intuition by being put in that situation. So now that you're describing it, I'm like, oh my God, it was divinely guided. It was a blessing because then I was like, God, I'm a really good tarot card reader. I can do this, you know?
So exactly. Exactly. And I think, too, it's so easy for us to take that inner voice and think it's like that monkey mind. You know, like if I'm having a bad day, sometimes I think that those truths that I get, those little pieces that I get are, you know, monkey mind. They're just, you know, ramblings. But usually if I check in, it's like, oh, no, 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 that's the wisdom. It's right there. It's right in front of me. So I have to, like, go through this filtering process where I say, no, 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 no. I'm going to really listen. I'm not going to discount any of this, you know, any of this guidance.
I'm curious for you, because this is my experience. Would you say that you get information for yourself? Like, if I ask the question for myself, I've learned to tap into my intuition. Yet for me as the prosperity advisor or the plan of action person, I feed off that person either through their phone or right in front of me, and I get so many perfect ideas that just fit perfectly for them. And I see the whole picture of where they're at and where their potential is. If they want to be in front of 5,000 people, I see it's like a computer program or a string of JPEGs or pictures. And I say, oh, I know exactly how you're going to get there. The only thing that's going to prevent you is your fear of getting there. And we can set all this plan. And so I guess my question is, and now that I'm asking the question, I know the answer, but for me, like, do you really, like, get more energized and more clear as the person is in front of you or even on the phone for your messages?
Yeah. I usually get like usually what happens is it just comes through. It's down.
a lot of times I won't even be looking at the cards. I'll just be like, okay, first. And I'll just go, boop, 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 boop. And then I'll start to look at the cards. And then I'll notice the way that they respond to the cards, too, because that's really important. Like, if they have a certain amount of energy around it. And then also I'll do an energetic matching thing. Some people want you to lead more, and some people want to say, no, 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 it's about this card, and I feel it's this. So if that's the case, I back out of the way, and I just let them roll with it, and I might give them a little feedback as they're going along with it, but that so that there's an energetic match, like when they walk through the door. You see, I mean, I'm sure you do this too, but there's an energetic match when they walk through the door, and you kind of do an assessment and know what it is they need to have from the experience. Some people are much more self-directed, and some people really want you to sit there and just do, and they don't want to say anything. And you want to honor what it is they need when they come in, and also their growing edge, like if they're addicted to one of those places of being more, you know, and repeating patterns that aren't helping them grow. You want to just, you know, push them a little bit so that they're a little, you know, out of their comfort zone. Is that what you were asking?
Yeah, kind of. Just, you know, I get so jazzed and inspired and filled up when I'm in that role of helping somebody with that question or life path. And I love it when they say, wow, I was thinking that. And I said, I know. That's why you're higher. I describe it that my higher self is having a conversation with their higher self, and I'm the translator. And so if I say something to them that makes complete sense, they were thinking it anyway, and they had already started, that's just validation that they're listening to their higher self, and that's the message in the moment. And that's kind of fun.
Yeah, that's wonderful. I love that. I love that feeling of helping them, you know, kind of collect the breadcrumbs or kind of, you know, fill in the gaps for themselves, because it usually isn't. Most people don't come in and they're not like, I don't know what the hell is going on. They're like, there's one little thing that's kind of out of place, you know. And then if you can help them to just fill in that little place, then you make it solid for them. And you know, it opens up. And also I think that you're talking about this too, seeing them in a room speaking to 5,000 people. Like, people come in and it's so clear who they'll be. You know, it's just so clear what they hold in them. And I think it's so wonderful to be able to show that to them clearly, mirror that for them clearly, so that they can see it too, because, you know, on their journey they've probably been told that they can't do this, or, well, that's going to take a lot, or whatever. But it's your job to see their clear, pure spirit and what they're here to do, and it sounds like that really is a big part of the work that you do.
Yeah, it was nice to be, because like you said, I'd had the experience I fought calling myself a psychic, because I was like, no, I'm not a psychic. I'm intuitive, but I'm not a psychic. And really, is there any difference? I come to realize, no, it's just semantics. But at the time, if I was labeling myself, I felt I didn't deserve to be on the same level of, say, Cindy Riggs and Susan Rawlings and Kelly Bowman, who were peers that I work with. And I felt like I couldn't say that. And I was at a psychic. I was at a festival, and I was like, look, I need to call it what it is, and I needed to make money at the event. And I was like, people don't understand intuitive, but they understand the word psychic. It's just like, you know, if you bake pastries but you call yourself a chef, they're not coming to you for pastries.
Uh-huh.
So I said, I do psychic readings. And that was my first claiming my power in that experience. And I had a group come up to me, and they wanted to connect with a spirit on like a third, fourth dimensional level. And I did like what you said, look, this is not really my thing, but we'll see what comes up. And it was really exciting to me to experience that I wasn't talking to him as he was on the third and fourth dimensional plane, because I knew I worked with the angels and the ascended beings and eighth dimensional beings and above, which didn't necessarily, it wasn't the crossed over loved ones or entities or those beings that were still stuck and had emotional drama like humans do. And I said, I'm not picking up, you know, I'm not picking up any of that lower vibrational stuff, as I term it. I'm picking up his higher spirit. And for me, it was validation that, well, even though I can connect to that crossed over person, I actually connected to his higher self crossed over. which is really,
wow, that's
really
wonderful.
Cool.
That's
yeah,
awesome.
And it wasn't what they wanted, but it was the message they needed.
Well, I think that's a really important thing. You know, I mean, there's integrity in the profession, and we can get really caught up in you know, projecting onto them, you know, this idea without giving them the whole picture. And sometimes our job, I think, is to tell them what they need and not just what they want to hear. You know, I mean, I think that there are folks in the profession who just kind of blow smoke, but and
right.
I think that it's important not to do that. You know, I mean, it's important to know where that line is so that you're giving them clear information and mirroring them for their higher self, but not just telling them, you know, what they want to hear.
Yeah. And not having judgment when they come back and say what you said didn't happen. Well,
mm-hmm.
since there is no real time and it's a concept or an illusion, maybe what
yet.
You said hasn't happened yet.
Exactly.
Or they fixed it. I mean, we're not perfect, so we're just there to pass on a little nudge, like you said.
Exactly. Wonderful. Well, we just have a very few more minutes, so I want to make sure that people know how to get a hold of you for your sessions, your prosperity work, where to get your book, et cetera, and so forth.
Well, you can reach me at www.heatherltapia.com. That will take you to my business consulting site, which has a lot of web and event planning solutions. And then again, to find out information about the 5 Steps of Abundance and Introduction to Love and Business, you can go to the abundancebook.webs.com. And I can send you that book in hardback. As soon as I get the ebook link up, I will be promoting that on With Insights. You can listen into my show, Entrepreneurial Excellence, highlighting women in business in the community every Wednesday at 2 o'clock. So we've got a cool show tomorrow. We're going to be talking about the Global Women's Summit event. I'm here in Charleston, beautiful Charleston, South Carolina, prepping for that event. I'll be speaking on the panel. And, you know, Facebook, Heather L. Tapia, and don't hesitate to reach out if you want to email me. It's heatherltapia@gmail. I'm offering everyone a half-hour consultation for their business. If you want a psychic or intuitive reading or a sound healing session, and I can do those remotely through the phone, energy never dies, vibration never dies, and intention is everything. So, you know, I'm able to work on your energetic body and physical body through a cell phone and help you with identifying more about your life path direction and increasing your abundance as well. So don't hesitate to reach out to me. Tell us that you heard me on Jenny's radio show, and, you know, we'll take care of you guys. So thanks so much. I appreciate your time.
Oh, absolutely. Thanks so much for being on and sharing your wisdom and your insight and your story. Appreciate it.
Thank you. Well, thanks so much. You guys have a good rest of your evening, and I will talk to you soon, Jennifer.
Okay. Take care, Heather.
Thanks. Bye-bye.
That was Heather L. Tapia, Prosperity Advisor. Just wanting to share, I will be on JP's In Spirit show. JP is just, I was doing a show on the Golden Child archetype and really wanted it to resonate with someone. And this young man got a hold of me. He's a wonderful intuitive practitioner. He's out of Florida. And I will be on his show, In Spirit with JP, on Sunday at 11:30, talking about what I do. And I just wanted to share that with you. So hope you can catch that, and hope that you're listening to all of these wonderful programs on Blog Talk with Insight Radio. Have a great evening, everybody. Okay, my music is not playing tonight. Whatever you do between now and next week, go and make magic, feel magic, inspire magic, because that's what we're here for. Take good care, guys. Bye now.